right, for the introduction, I'm going to leave that to Steve B.
I'm Steven, I'm still an alcoholic. You know, Toby came up to me probably like a month and a half ago and said, hey, you know, I need some speakers for our Thursday speakers meeting. And, of course, I said, okay, I'll speak. He wasn't talking about me. I conned him into letting me speak a little later time, but it has to be from my home. He said, from my home group, who would be a good person to speak? And I'm actually a member of the Keep It Simple men's meeting on Friday nights, and you know, so there's no women that would speak here from my home group, but you know, one of the people that I thought of, one of the first people I thought of was the gentleman that's going to be speaking tonight. And I remember when I first came into the rooms, you know, I had met him. He was a really nice guy. He's, you know, right around the same age as I am. He's been sober for a pretty long time. He'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, considering his age, he's been sober for a pretty long time. But one of the things that stuck out was everybody was like, he's such a spiritual guru. And then I got to know him better. And, yeah, that's... Sure, that's the case. He's a really good friend of mine. You know, I spend a lot of time with him. But, you know, every other week I see him at our sponsorship tree meeting. We all have a very tight-knit group there, you know, and we make up a lot of the people that do attend the Friday night men's meeting. I see him there every week. He's got a great secondary home group as well out in Brandon where he's from. And I'll let him tell the rest of it. John Waterman.
Okay. Thank you for. I hope I'm not talking too loud for this thing. Yeah, that was mostly not true, but I am very, very honored to be able to speak here. It's always an honor to do anything for AA. I'm a bit nervous though, and eventually that goes away. I think at some point, hopefully God takes over. So if this is really terrible, you can blame him, I guess. my name is John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, John.
Thank you for again for letting me be here. My sobriety date is October 22nd of 2007. So I've been sober for a little bit over 4 years now. I got sober when I was 19. I'm 24 now. So I've also never had a legal drink. Which at first, it's funny, when I got sober, I thought it was gonna be a really big deal. Like, I thought I'd turn 21, and all of a sudden, like, all I'd want to do is buy alcohol. But this funny thing happens when you work the steps. And alcohol becomes like not even an issue, right? And so by the time I turned 21, alcohol wasn't even an issue. It wasn't even something I thought about really anymore. So that's pretty sweet. And as a result of that, you know, as a result of getting sober at 19, I've got to go through a lot of cool stuff, a lot of growing up really quick, which has been interesting at times. You know, it's always, like I said, an honor to be asked to speak. And particularly here, because I actually went to treatment at Healthcare Connection up the road, and I remember coming, I think it was my first meeting, I don't know, my memories are pretty fuzzy from like the first month I was sober, but I think my first meeting was actually the Tuesday night Big Book meeting, and I remember being very confused about the whole thing, about what was going on, because there were some people that were like really excited, and they were like yelling, and there's like these books, right, and so like, and it was in a church, and so I was told that like, this wasn't a Christian thing, but then it was like, so I didn't know what was going on. I got kind of freaked out, but needless to say, I kept coming back, you know, and things started kind of make sense. You know, I'll just try my best to give you a little bit about what it was like. I'm going to tell you right now, my drinking wasn't very exciting, but I'll tell you a little bit about that, a little bit about what happened, and hopefully mostly about what it's like now, because that's what, you know, that's what I try to tell all the guys I deal with. You know, I have the pleasure to sponsor other people, and actually those people I sponsor actually sponsor other people, and even some of them have sponsees, which is really cool. So I have this, like, you know, I get to see this fellowship grow up around me, basically, like it talks about in the book, you know, which is really awesome. And you know, my home group for a long time was the Friday night men's meeting. I have kind of switched my attention to the Love and Service group in Brandon. Is my home group now. We meet on Saturday nights at the Recovery Club in Brandon, and it's a speaker meeting just like this one, actually, our speaker meeting, and we're getting started ourselves. We're starting to pick up, so it's really cool to to be a part of that and be a part of a tight-knit group of guys and really try to bring the message, you know, in our very own, like, you know, to start a meeting and bring the message to other struggling alcoholics has been a really great experience. And, you know, about what it was like, I was born, as most of us were, and I was born in Illinois, in a little town called New Lenox. It's about a suburb of Chicago, so I spent most of my, about 13 years of my life there. You know, I had a pretty normal, awesome childhood. I have two loving parents that are still together today. They're amazing. They've always been amazing. I've had everything I've ever needed. Maybe not necessarily everything I've ever wanted, but I've definitely had everything I've ever needed. I have a brother and sister. They're actually graduating from college this Friday and Saturday, so I get to go up to Tallahassee to see them graduate, which is pretty cool. And they're awesome. Neither of them is an alcoholic. My sister doesn't even drink, which I think is awesome. They're just like normal, you know, kids, which is really cool to see. I kind of feel bad for them though, because my mom had to go through, you know, my whole thing before she got to them. So I think she's a little bit more like on top of them than she was on me. So yeah, sucks to be them, I guess. But but no, my family is awesome, and that's, you know, well, the reason I say that is because growing up, nothing really crazy happened. Like, I can't blame my alcoholism on anything, you know. And when I got sober, I thought that like something traumatic had happened to me, and that's why I was an alcoholic. Like, and the whole time I was drinking, I was convinced it was because like the girl left me. That's why I drank. Or I was convinced that it was because I didn't have, you know, a good job, or I wasn't smart enough, or I just didn't. All these things I was convinced were the problem. But you know, looking back on it, my whole life there was this problem that I didn't even know what it was. But my whole life I felt, you know, it's kind of cliche, you hear a lot of speakers say it, but I felt different. And the main way I felt different is I was always afraid. I was always convinced that everyone else like got some sort of instructions that I didn't get, like about life or about what you're supposed to do with your life or about how you're supposed to do things, you know. And I can remember every year I'd get older, I'd look at the people who were in like the next year after me at school and just wonder how they did it, like how they were even surviving right now, because that seemed like the most insurmountable task to me, just growing up and getting older and having more responsibility and all that stuff. Like, I remember going to a high school football game when I was like in elementary school and being convinced that like high school was like the scariest thing that could ever happen, and that there's no way I was going to make it. There's just no way. You know, and then on top of that, I grew up Catholic, and I was pretty much convinced my whole childhood I was going to hell. And there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with Catholics. It was just, that was my head. And I found out later that that my brain makes up a lot of things, really, that keep me blocked off from being with other people. But if that gives you any idea how I felt when I was a kid. And then on top of that, I had when I was 5, I had this, like, brain tumor, right? So I had to go get, like, surgery on my head, and when I got out of surgery, I couldn't see out my left eye anymore. So that kind of like ruined my aspirations to play sports or any sort of like motor skill kind of things. Cause like from that point on, like all the kids were like running around the playground and stuff. And I was like running into trees and like other things and like cracking my head open on stuff. And so it was really easy to feel different. I have scars all over my head. All of my front teeth are all chipped. So it was really easy to feel different. I had really big glasses. I looked like Harry Potter. It was terrible. It wasn't terrible. My childhood was really good, but I did feel different. And that's, you know, and like I said, for a long time, I thought my alcoholism was because of that different feeling. I thought my alcoholism was because I didn't have the necessary outside parts of my life to fix whatever was going on with me. You know, come to find out through that big book and through the experience of others in these rooms, primarily sponsorship, I have this disease, right, that you know, not even tells me all this stuff about myself, but more so, my disease primarily is one of you know, when I take a drink, first of all, alcohol is the only thing that fixes me, right? Alcohol, and I try to fix myself with other stuff, but primarily alcohol. Alcohol is the only thing that gives me a solution to me feeling like crazy. And when I take that solution, all I want is more and more and more, and eventually, it causes me to, you know, I end up in bad situations because I'm drinking a lot, and I can't drink without consequences. And that's really the crux of it, is like, I can't stop drinking on my own. Like, once I have my first drink, there's no not doing it anymore. And I always have consequences. You know, so that's why I'm an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic because of the brain tumor or because, like, you know, I ran into stuff when I was a kid or because, like, any of those other reasons why, because I was afraid or any of that stuff. That's not why I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because when I put alcohol in my body, I can't stop drinking. And not only that, but I can't stop drinking and bad stuff happens. But even after all that bad stuff happens, I still want more for whatever reason. And I don't know why. I don't. You know, and I can say that, you know, that's what my alcoholism is. But I don't have that feeling now. And, you know, I'm going to tell you guys why in a little bit. But I think most of you kind of have already kind of hinted at the solution, you know. But in any case, so I'm a kid. I'm scared. I'm freaked out. You know, I'm kind of making my way through life, being freaked out and getting used to stuff, and then getting unused to it, and then getting used to it again. Just normal growing up stuff, you know. But for me, it was like everything was insane. And so my dad gets a job in Florida. So I'm used to, like, growing up in, like, you know, the seasons. You know, winter, fall, spring, summer. And so my dad's like, oh yeah, I got the job in Florida. We're going to move down here. And I'm like 13. So I'm like right at the cusp of, you know, puberty and all that good stuff. And, so I have like all my friends and they're all really important to me, you know, and I'm like, you know, starting to notice girls and all this stuff. And I'm really finally like trying to find my place where I am. And then all of a sudden I'm uprooted and I come down to Florida and I walk into this like middle school and it's hot and it's like, there's all these kids that I've never seen before in my whole life, and there's people speaking Spanish, and I don't know what the heck's going on, you know, and I'm like, I'm freaked out again, you know, and all of a sudden life's like the rug swept up out from underneath me again, and I don't know what's going on, and you know, from that point on, you know, it was just kind of a series of getting used to things and trying to find stuff to fix my outsides, and then fixing it for a little bit, and then stuff going away, you know, and nothing really, you know, bad happened, honestly. I mean, I did what most kids do. You know, you get used to being in middle school, and then you get used to being in high school, and you make friends, and then you start dating and whatnot. And I had these series of girlfriends that I, you know, thought if I had this certain girl, and she was like, looked like this, and she was like this, and I had this job, and I had this vehicle, then everything would be cool. And it was, occasionally, and I felt really great and everything, but there was always like this thing, because whenever all that stuff wasn't around, I was like scared again. I was freaked out. Like all of a sudden, everything wasn't okay. And if you ever took me out of my element, you took me out of my little comfort zone, I couldn't talk. And really, it's amazing that I'm standing here talking in front of all you guys right now, because like before I got sober, this doesn't happen. Like this isn't what I do at all, ever. I have all these people looking at me and stuff, and it's really messed up considering my job now. But so AA has given me way more than just, like, sobriety. It's given me the ability to, like, talk to people, which is kind of nice. I'm in high school, you know, and drinking really hadn't even come into the picture at this point. You know, I'm, like, 14 and 15. I had, like, a few sips of my dad used to let me go get his beer from the fridge when I was a kid. You know, we'd watch Star Trek together when he'd get home from work. And I'd go get his beer, and I'd always take a few sips on the way there, you know, and on the way back. And I always thought it was gross, you know, but I did it every time. I don't know why. But, like, I remember at some point, like, looking at, like, the people, the adults in my life, because my family on both my parents' side, a lot of them drink. And then we have big family gatherings. We have really big family, and everyone drinks, and everyone has a good time, and everyone's happy. And I realized pretty quickly that, like, I put two and two together that, like, hey, these people are all like adults and they're surviving, but they're like drinking. So like that must be how you survive, is like the drinking thing. Like you work the whole week, or you do all this stuff, and then you come home and you have a few drinks and everything's okay again. And so I developed like this at an early age, you know, I developed like this kind of ideal of what I thought alcohol was. And it was like kind of this thing I put on a pedestal. But I was too freaked out to, like, try it, you know, because I knew my mom would get really angry if I started, you know, like, messing around with that. And she was always kind of on my back. And so I was like, oh, I got to, you know, sneak around. And so finally I got my chance. You know, we went up to visit my cousins in Indiana. They live, like, in a cabin out in the woods. And I'm in their basement, and I'm 16. And my cousin's like, hey, do you want a glass of scotch? And I'm like, yeah, sure, scotch. Sounds awesome. I didn't know what scotch was, you know, but I had it, and I drank the whole thing real quick, and he's like, you're supposed to sip it. And I was like, oh, whatever. But all I know is, like, from that point till the end of the night, I got drunk, and it was awesome. Like, I don't know what point it happened, but you know, maybe the second or third drink or the beer after that or whatever, I felt okay. Everything was all right. Like, everything was okay. Like, I was better looking, for one thing. I could see out of both eyes. You know, I had perfect balance. Everything was awesome. And I was smarter, and I could talk better. I remember calling, like, my girlfriend at the time and just being like, man, I feel so great. Like, everything's going to be so awesome when I come home, and we're going to have, you know, we're going to do all this stuff. And, you know, just whacked, man, just totally whacked. Because in my mind, I had found the solution. I'd found what's gonna make, what was gonna fix me, you know. And for those few hours, I remember just feeling like everything was gonna be okay. For the first time in my whole life, like for a extended period of time, everything was gonna be okay, and there was nothing wrong. And you know, that was a pretty profound. It had a pretty profound effect on me. But I will say this: that I didn't drink again for. I drank sporadically over the course of my high school years, because again, my primary motivator, my primary emotion throughout this whole time was fear, right? So I'm afraid that, like, if I get caught drinking, there's no way I'm going to go to college, because you get caught drinking once, you get a record, and they're not going to accept you at any college ever. And, you know, I get an AA, and all of a sudden, like, I have friends that, you know, have done way crazier stuff than me. They're, like, you know, like, wheeling and dealing and working in the corporate world, and I don't know. And in any case, my fears were way, way, way bigger than what was actually true. But that stuff kept me away from drinking for a while, you know. And I would sneak around and get drunk every once in a while. And every time I did it, it was like this amazing. It was like almost like a spiritual occasion. Like, and that's really the best way to describe my drinking, is like it was a spiritual experience for me. For, you know, really the first part of it was every time was like a spiritual awakening that I felt every time I got drunk. And you know, it's not really surprising that what happened, because like that's how much I love booze, man. I loved it. It was the most important thing to my life. And once I got to the point where I could do it as often as I wanted to, which is basically like high school ended, the girlfriend broke up with me because she was moving to some other school or something, and so I had a really good excuse, right? Because I was heartbroken. So there was that, and so that like made that helped some of the fear go away, because I was like, well, I'm not afraid of anything anymore, because I already lost the one thing I cared about anyways, you know. And so I was willing to dive headfirst into doing whatever I wanted, and then, you know, you just have that freedom when you're 18 to kind of do more stuff. And I got to buy like cigarettes, and you know, I was like, you know, going to parties and stuff, and I started drinking like about every weekend. You know, my mom was like kind of like freaking out, but I was like, Mom, I'm 18, I'm gonna do what I want. I got accepted to this school that was like 4 hours away, so I could, you know, I had this plan that I was gonna go up to college, and I just had to bide my time till I got to college, and then I could really do whatever I wanted, and everything would be great. And so that's what happened. I started drinking just on the weekends, just at parties, and I realized pretty quickly that I drank differently than all my friends. Like, and it was pretty much like, you know, within the first like month probably, and my drinking only really lasted like a year and a half, so the first month was actually a good long part of it, but within the first month I realized pretty quickly that no one else was like drinking for as long or drinking as much as I did. And these were all kids who were like older than me and all this stuff, and at the time it seemed, I felt really cool about it, you know. I was like, oh man, I'm so much cooler than these kids, you know, I can drink this much, look at all my friends, they're all passed out, look at me. And what ended up happening is, real quick, I got to college, started drinking every weekend, and then it turned from like a Friday night thing to like a Friday night, Saturday morning thing, to a Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday, or Saturday night thing, to, you know, the whole weekend, and then, you know, occasionally I'd start on Thursday night and then go through there, and then occasionally Thursday morning, and it kind of just expanded until, you know, really like, I managed to stay sober for about 4 days during the week, because I had to go to work and I had class, and so I would like, detox myself, because at a certain point, about 4 or 5, maybe like 6 months into it, I was like physically addicted to alcohol after putting it into my body for such a like extended period of time for every week. So I would detox myself on Sunday mornings and then go to work Sunday night and then stay sober, or stay dry really for like a couple days, and then go back to drinking again for the next 3 days or so, and then do it all over again, and then go back to drinking and do it all over again. And that was in 2006 that all started, and my sobriety date's, like I said, October 2007. So really for the next, from August 2006 till about October 2007, I was you know, drunk about every weekend, and interspersed with like little periods of sobriety where I try to like just stop drinking, because I started blacking out on a regular basis, and when you black out, you do dumb stuff, and so I was doing a lot of dumb stuff, and I peed on a lot of stuff when I was drunk, so I had like people didn't really like when I came over to their parties because I usually ended up having to like deal with like a naked John Waterman or something, and that wasn't fun for them, or their stuff would smell like piss in the morning, which just isn't fun for anybody. But that's the kind of drunk I was, you know. It was like there was no the romanticism of the whole thing that I strive for, you know, like the spiritual experience of it, the ability to be drunk and feel like everything is okay and everything's cool. It went away pretty quickly, and it turned into me just usually like ending up like peeing and crying on a regular basis, you know, and that was the kind of drunk I was, you know, and that's what I did. And I went from someone my friends depended on and like someone people considered like, you know, Stephen was talking about me as being like this like person that people like, you know, think is like a good person. Like I went from that and me being that kind of person amongst my friends to me being the person that they kind of tried to avoid as much as possible. And the one that they're having to sit down every once in a while and be like, listen, man, we really, like, we're kind of worried that this is happening. And these were friends who were doing the same stuff I was, but they were able to get up and, like, go about their lives. And they weren't doing the same stuff when they were drinking as I was. Because they could be like, oh, man, I've had three shots. I need to stop. And I'm like, I don't even understand how you do three shots. Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. Or, you know, just weird stuff that was really weird to me at the time. Because I was like, why would you want to stop doing this? But at the same time, every time I drank, bad stuff was happening. So I kind of didn't want to drink as much. But it's like once I put that first drink in my body, like this weird thing happened. Anytime alcohol was presented to me, all of these, you know, you always hear this, and I've come to kind of get like a little tired. Like I hear this phrase in AA going, play the tape through. Every time I was presented with alcohol, the tape didn't play anymore. There was no tape. The tape just went away because alcohol became way more important than the tape. And that's true even today. Like I'm not drinking because of my past. I'm not drinking because I found a spiritual solution. You know, and playing the tape through never worked, because ultimately what would happen is I'd play the tape through to the point where I was like, well, really my problem was I had like 20 beers. So if I have 18 instead, then I'll be fine. Or I had, you know, this much liquor. So if I have this much instead, then I'll be fine. If I cut myself off at this point, then everything will be fine. If I don't, you know, if I don't do anything else when I'm drinking, then I'll be fine. Or whatever, all those various things. If I just drink only beer, I just drink only wine, or just drink, you know, only on these days or at these times or on a full stomach and all this stuff. And it didn't work. You know, what happened is things got worse and worse and worse. And finally, you know, about like a year into it, I tried a series of suicide attempts that were really kind of, looking back on them, not very good suicide attempts, obviously. But obviously, I'm still here. But you know, that's the point my life got to, is like I'd wake up in the morning, and this is the most visceral feeling I can remember from that time, is waking up in the morning and just being angry that I was awake, like just being like, what the heck, like really again, like I have to do this all over again. And, you know, and not knowing why, really not knowing why, because ultimately, like, I thought that, like, as long as I fixed this part of my life, like, if I got better grades, everything was going to be okay. If I got a job, right, I would be fine. I would have some money, and I could go do stuff with my friends, and I wouldn't have to just hang out with people that were drinking. Or if I hung out with people that didn't drink, which I tried that, too, you know, if I hang out with them, then I'm not gonna go out and drink, and it didn't work either, you know. And so, I'm 19, and I'm waking up every morning hating my life, and I convinced my parents to let me. I'd come home for the summer, and that was like crazy, and a bunch of stuff happened, and I was able to quit drinking for 2 weeks, and I used that as my excuse to start drinking again, you know. And I was able to go back to school because I convinced my parents everything was going to be fine. And I went back, and within 2 or 3 months, I found myself on like a couch in someone's apartment that I didn't know, you know, after drinking for 3 days. And everyone had like left, because I guess I had passed out like 9 o'clock that morning, and it was like 9 when I woke up. And everyone had left to go do something, and it was just me, and my phone was gone, and my keys were gone. And I didn't, you know, like I said, I didn't really know where I was, and all that was left was just a bottle of booze. And like, that's like, I remember that being like the thing. It's like, I was looking around, I was like, what do I do with myself? And there's just like this bottle sitting there, like, and I drank it. I drank the whole thing, and I like figured, like, there had been times where I'm pretty sure I'd had alcohol poisoning before, because people told me afterwards the things that had happened and what they had tried to do to wake me up, I figured if I drank as much more than that, then I would be good and I wouldn't wake up, right? And it, obviously it didn't work again, and so the next morning I woke up and got my friend to drive me back to my dorm room and proceeded to try to finish the job. And you know, that one of those moments of clarity, as they're called, happened. And I called my mom, and she came and got me and took me to treatment. And that's really, like, you know, like where my life started, honestly. Because, like, you know, I was scared. I was so scared when I got sober. You know, when they threw me into this treatment center, I'm looking around me, and it's a bunch of, like, people that all seem to be older than me, and they all seem to have done way more stuff than me, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, yeah, all I did was drink. And they're like, oh man, you're not done yet, you don't got to worry about anything, you know, and you're only 19, whatever. And I'm freaked out, because I'm like, man, I don't know what I got myself into, you know. And you know, I don't know why. I really don't. All I knew is that I didn't want what I had anymore. Like, I didn't want my stuff, because my stuff sucked, and I knew that. I didn't know if I wanted to stop drinking the rest of my life. I didn't know if I wanted a higher power in my life. I didn't know if I wanted, you know, different friends or a different life even. Like, I didn't know if I want to stop doing the stuff I was doing. Like, I just knew I didn't want to feel like the way I was feeling, which was empty and scared. And so I just started doing what people told me to, you know. In treatment, they told me to get a sponsor. I got a sponsor. I went to the men's meeting, and I found the youngest guy in the room, and I asked him to be my sponsor because I figured he knew the most about what it was like to be me. Turns out he did the exact opposite of me as far as, like, his story, but we got along really well, and I listened to him, and he sat me down, and he said, all right, you know, I'm going to take you through these steps, and what these steps are going to do is they're going to help you find a power of your understanding that's going to solve your problem. And I said, okay, dude, whatever, like, sure. And then I did it, you know. And my experience with the steps the first time I did them is that I don't know if I necessarily was like people, I always hear people talk about doing the first step 100%. I don't think I did the first step 100% for my first year sober. I don't, because I knew I couldn't drink, and I'll say I was pretty sure I couldn't drink. I also knew that that whatever was going on, my life was getting better, because, like, I felt better. I had, you know, I was going to meetings. Like, I got out of treatment and I started going to meetings, and I was having fun. I was, like, laughing. My life was getting better. My family was happy. But, like, I don't know. I never had, like, as my sponsor took me through the steps, I did them to the best of my ability. And, but what I found is that, like, at 6 months sober, I had gotten my first sponsee, and he went out and drank pretty much the second day after I got him, you know. And so I was like, oh man, I'm not even doing this 12-step thing right, you know. And I had this girlfriend at the time who was, like, a couple years younger than me, and she, like, was, like, doing cocaine or something like that, and I, like, was like, oh, we can't be together because I'm sober, you know, and you're doing all this stuff. And she, like, this whole thing happened with her, and I had to make amends to her later for the things that went on. But and I found myself at a point of 6 months sober with nothing. Like, I was totally spiritually bankrupt. And this whole time I thought I'd found, you know, I thought I'd found the solution because I'd had fun in sobriety. And then I'd been going to meetings and I'd been doing all this stuff with people in AA. And I was like, I found, you know, I thought I was doing AA. And what I found is that I did a lot of AA. I did a lot of the fellowship, and I did a lot of service kind of stuff. And I was doing the stuff that, you know, the part of the triangle, the unity and the, I always mess up the triangle, but I think it's like unity and service, yeah. I had done that, but I wasn't experiencing any sort of, like, love from a higher power. Like, I wasn't, and it wasn't because he wasn't giving it to me, it was because I was, like, I wasn't seeking it. I'd ceased seeking. Once I went through the steps, right, I'd ceased seeking a higher power, because I figured I had already, like, gotten to where I needed to be, and all I had to do now was just, like, you know, talk to some guys on the phone, go to some meetings, everything was going to be cool, you know. And I figured I could run my life exactly how I thought I wanted to run it other than that. And And it wasn't the case, you know, obviously. And so I got to a point at like 6 months, like I said, that I was pretty close to drinking, and I had to really reevaluate where I was. And thank God, you know, I have a good friend of mine who actually, he got sober before I did, but before even he got sober, we had met while we were drinking at like this big long house party we had had for like a month. So it wasn't really a house party; it was more like a, I don't know, it wasn't a party. It was just a big drinking fest, basically. I don't know. Me and this guy stayed drunk together for a while, and that's how I met him. And I went to my first meeting at the men's meeting, actually, and I remember walking up and getting my white chip, and he was sitting there, and he had, like, been sober for 3 months. And we had talked for a while afterwards, and I really didn't see him a lot after that. But I called him while this all was going on, and he, like, took the time, and he took me, and he grabbed me, and we went to his house, and he told me about God. And he told me about, like, what he did to stay sober. And he told me about prayer, and he told me about meditation, and he told me about... you know, going out and like, and going out of your way to go to a meeting, and not going to a meeting to share your crap, but going to a meeting to share your experience so that maybe a new guy can be attracted to this way of life. And then going up to that guy afterwards and saying like, hey, I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you. And even if the dude wants nothing to do to you, at least you're putting your hand in his palm and saying, hey, welcome, I'm glad you're here. And really like doing this program the way it was laid out. Not, and you know, I'm not, I hope I don't come off as like, as coming down on anybody at all, because I don't want to. It's just, my experience was, is that like, I got so wrapped up in the greatness of like, of being sober, like going out and being sober and doing things sober, that I forgot about like, at the end of the day, man, this thing is really about my connection with the higher power. And not only that, but that connection with the higher power and how I'm displaying that connection with the higher power to other people. Because hypothetically, I can attract these new guys or people who have the same sickness, or even people who don't. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just me in my daily life. And I can show someone that, like, man, life is okay. Like, life is great. And not only is life great, but, like, you know, you can share in this stuff. Like we can all share in this great thing, this God of my of your understanding. Like, my life from that point changed. You know, and I got back into the steps, and I started really trying to like practice doing the other part of the 12th step, which is practicing the principles in all my affairs. 'Cause that's really like, you know, I thought I'd had the spiritual awakening and that was it, but really I have to, like, in order to keep that spiritual awakening and have a spiritual experience at some point, and have a continuous spiritual experience, my life has to focus on practicing those principles in all my affairs. And so that's what I started to do, and I can't really tell you any, like, specific ways. I mean, like, really, it was just a matter of, like, me, you know, actually, like, maybe, like, getting on my knees in the morning and at night and, like, praying to God. And maybe instead of, like, over the course of my day, asking myself what I want to do, asking maybe what someone else wants to do. You know, like, what can I do to make myself happy is good to a point, right? But, like, what can I do to help someone else? Like, that's the essential question I have to ask myself on a regular basis today. Because when I ask myself that question, and then I do what the answer is, which God usually provides me the answer in some sort of way, my life gets better. When I start thinking that, like, I understand what's going on, and that, like, oh yeah, you know, I should go to meetings so I can, like, you know, help the new guy, or go to meetings so I can, like, you know, meet up with my sponsee, or go and, you know, get the step work done with him, like, you know, as soon as possible because he really wants to get it done. Or, you know, talk to my sponsor on a regular basis, or, you know, help my mom bring the groceries in. The moment I think that stuff's all great and fine and everything, but really I have to do, like, you know, well, work is way more important than that, because I have to go to work to make money, and if I don't make enough money, I'm going to be screwed, and then I'm going to be homeless. And if I'm homeless, I'm not going to be able to help anyone. So really what I need to do is just make sure I'm taking care of the work stuff. Or, you know, if my most important thing is, like, oh, yeah, you know, it's really great that all these new guys, like, really, you know, like, they need to be shown, you know, or they don't need to be shown anything, but they need to be welcomed to AA, hopefully, right? But really it's more important than I get out, because I have, like, a meeting with, like, my girlfriend, like, in, like, 10 minutes, and I need to go do stuff with her, because we're going to go see a movie, and it's going to be way better, and all this other stuff. Or I need to go meet this other person, or I need to go do this, or I need to go do that. And when my life is all about that, I'm crazy. And then I wonder why, you know, like, I'm sitting in my house, like, man, why do I feel so nuts right, like, now? Why do I feel so crappy? Like, my life is so good. I have so much stuff going on. And I wonder why I feel horrible, and I forget, because, like, I didn't get sober for me. I didn't get sober for me. I got sober to help the new guy. I got sober so I could help someone else you know, get this message. I got sober to carry the message. You know, the big book tells me that if we do well, I always mess this part up, but it's in a vision for you, and it's what's read at the end of my my home group. And if I do God's work well and I stick close to Him, amazing things are going to happen. And that's paraphrasing it totally, and I'm butchering it, but that's my job today, is to do God's work well. And you know, long story short, that was me going on my little tangent. But what really happened after that, like, you know, second moment of clarity, that emotional bottom, what I came to think of it as later. What really happened after that was I messed around for a little bit more and, you know, tried to do things my way. But eventually I got this other sponsor, right? And this guy had been sober like 15 years. He actually spoke here a few weeks ago. His name's Mickey. He's an awesome guy. Maybe a month ago. I got this guy, and he, you know, he got sober when he was 19, and I don't want to, like, whatever, blow up his spot at all, but, like, really, like, he showed me a new way of, like, going about this thing, where, because he had everything I wanted. This dude had, like, a successful job, he had a family, right? He had, like, and he was happy. He was, like, happy all the time. Like, every time I saw this guy, he's, like, always happy, and he has all this crap going on. Like, he's a busy, busy guy. I call him, and he's like, yeah, I'm still at work, and it's, like, 9 o'clock at night, and he goes to work at, like, 9. I'm like, dude, you're nuts. Why are you doing that? And, like, I'm like, how can you be happy? In my whole life, that had been my thing. I was like, how can you be happy with more responsibility? How can you be happy with all these things going on in your life? Like, you have so much crap pulling you in different ways. Like, how can you still be happy? How can you do it? And he showed me how to do it, because he said, hey, we're going to go through the steps, and I'm going to show you how you find the higher power of your understanding, and I'm going to show you how to have a new experience with the higher power. Because, you know, it's clear that, you know, whatever experience you had with your higher power the first time, you need to expand upon it. And that's my life today, is expanding upon my conception of a higher power and expanding upon what I can do for that higher power. And that, you know, takes different forms at different times. You know, I've had the pleasure of getting to graduate college in sobriety. I've had the pleasure of being able to be present for a lot of family events that I wouldn't have been present for before, that I wouldn't have been excited to be around. Like, you know, I can guarantee you when I was still drinking, like, I wouldn't be excited to drive 4 hours to Tallahassee to go, like, sit in, like, some sweaty arena somewhere while, like, you know, a bunch of people walk across a stage, you know, and I have to watch the whole thing until, like, eventually it's the person I'm there for, and then I get excited, and then it's all over again. Like, that wouldn't be exciting to me, and obviously even now it doesn't sound totally exciting to me, but the reality is, I get to be there for, like, this amazing event where someone's, like, you know, stepping into the new part of their life, and I get to be there for that, and that's really cool. And, you know, the great thing is I have, like, I'm still working on my relationship with my brother. It's still a little strained, and that is what it is. But, you know, with my sister, this weird thing has happened where, like, I don't even remember being close to her when I was a kid. And now, like, she, like, this always, like, messes me up. But, like, now she, like, you know, tells me she loves me all the time and tells me how much she looks up to me. And, like, you know, I'm, like, I can't remember when it was, but, like, a few weeks ago or something like that, like, a month ago, she wrote me this letter about, you know, how she used me, like, as an example of someone who was, like, a mentor in her life or something. And that's, like, that's insane. Because I can remember, like, laying in my bed after, like, trying to, like, drink toilet bowl cleaner or something and kill myself. And I was, like, drunk in my bed, you know, because I was still drunk from the night before. And her sitting next to me and just, like, crying and, like, not knowing, you know, what to think. And I made them watch that, you know. I made them watch me go through all this crazy stuff and watch their brother, like, you know, turn into, like, this selfish, self-centered person. And now, you know, like, she says she looks up to me. Like, that's insane. That's totally crazy, you know. My mom, I have the pleasure of still living with my parents. And my parents are, like, you know, like, they're, like, my best friends. Like, we get along so well, and it's so crazy. Because I don't feel like I'm imposing on them, and I don't feel like they're imposing on me. I just feel like I'm part of a family, which I've never, you know, I can't remember feeling before. And it's not because anything they did. It was because of me. It's because I had, like, this blockage between me and what was really going on in life. And the reality is today is that, like, my life, I'm so blessed right now that I should be, like, thanking God with every breath I have. And that's literally the truth. I'm gonna graduate my master's in a week. And, you know, I'm 24 years old, and I have, like, this, I just got this job, and the job I've wanted, my, like, basically since before I got sober, and the things I've been praying, the things I've been wanting my whole life have come true, you know, like, and a friend of mine named Raj always says this. He says, you know, when you get sober, man, and you stay around a while, and you have to dream new dreams. And I have to dream new dreams, because everything I've ever dreamt about has happened in being in sobriety, you know. And I've got to have these, like, amazing relationships with people who I never thought I'd be able to have before, you know. I never thought I'd be able to have an adult relationship, because literally, like, when I got sober, my idea of a conversation with someone was like, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I'd be like, hey, I'm John, I'm an alcoholic, I just got out of treatment, and, you know, I'd spent the last, so many years, like, drinking and blah, 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 and I couldn't even, like, have small talk, because I was so, like, focused on me, like, that was just, it was just all about me, and now I can, like, you know, like, I mean, crap, I deal with, like, you know, kids on a regular basis, and I can, like, I don't know, give a crap about them, which is insane, like, because and I can't stress the point of, like, I couldn't care about anyone before I got sober. I couldn't. Like, I was incapable of it. And it wasn't because I didn't want to, because sometimes I really did, you know, but I couldn't, because I was so, I had a drink, you know, I was so focused on alcohol, you know, and it's hard to develop personal relationships with anyone when all you're concerned about really is booze, you know, and, I don't know, man, I get up and to do this, like, this kind of stuff, you know, people ask me to speak, and I'm always, like, worried, like, I spend, like, especially if it's, like, a month beforehand, I spend the month, thinking about, like, oh, I'm gonna say this, and, like, looking at stuff in the book, and, like, I'm gonna quote this, and I'm gonna, like, you know, use what this guy said, and I'm gonna make this point about spirituality and all this stuff, and then what ends up happening is I get up here, and all that stuff, like, goes away, and I forget all of it, and then, like I said, hopefully, God takes over, right, and I can truly tell you that here in this moment, at this spot, and where I'm standing right now, like, everything is perfect. And I'm not drunk. And I'm not, you know, looking forward to anything after this. You know, I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning tomorrow to go to work, which I'm not super excited about, because I don't like getting up that early. But at this moment, I have no fear, and I'm not in any pain, and life is awesome. And I could not, that didn't happen, not drunk, before I got sober. And that didn't happen, you know, even for a while when I was first getting sober, you know, because until I reevaluated that relationship I had with my higher power, and until I started actively working on expanding that relationship, I was incapable of having these moments on a regular basis as well. But today, you know, I'm just not there anymore, you know, and that's such a blessing. And I assure you that, like, if you're just getting into this thing, you're just starting out, and if you're new, man, there's so many cool things will happen. Just stick around and do what some people, you know, who have been around a little bit longer than you tell you to, and do these steps and get close to God, man, because He'll take care of you, and or she, or whatever God is to you. I still don't know sometimes, you know. I'm still trying to figure it out. And the cool thing is that I'm okay with not figuring it out. Like, I'm okay with not knowing what God is, and I'm okay with not knowing anything, really, which is really awesome, because, like, not knowing anything is totally a blessing, and it allows me to continue to have new experiences, you know, because when I convince myself that, like, I know everything, then I'm shutting myself off, you know. It's that contempt prior to investigation it talks about in the spiritual spirit experience in the back, and when I'm convinced that I don't know anything, and that God will reveal more, then I can be, like, revealed to, which is, makes life, like, super exciting, you know, I don't know. I feel like I've rambled long enough, and I don't know what else to say really at this point anymore. So thank you so much again, Toby, for asking me to come, and thank you, Stephen, for telling Toby to ask me to come, and that's it.
John W., that was really awesome.